Hey, everybody. It's Owen. Welcome back to the Ono Radio Show Quarantine Edition. Yeah, if you're not familiar with these, I've been doing small, you know, 20-ish minute conversations with some friends of the show that I think that you guys will find interesting, especially during this crazy time. Just trying to, you know, get out some more content to you. You know, since everybody's got a little extra time on their hands, good time to catch them at home, and they've got no excuse not to do an interview. You know, all those people that typically avoid trying to talk to me, I can pretty much get them now. So, anyway, on this edition, we have friend of the show, the warm-up guy, the MC for both the Family Feud and Steve Harvey Show, among countless others. It's our good friend Ruben Irvin. He calls us from his place in L.A., and we get a little bit of a lowdown on how things are going for him, of course, and how he got his start in the industry and getting discovered by you know, Steve Harvey, and hopefully you enjoy it. It's a pretty interesting little interview, so stick around for that, and we'll see you on the regular show on Thursday. Love ya. Bye. On the line with us right now, it's my good friend all the way from L.A., Ruben Irvin, everybody. How you doing,
hey,
Ruben?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all, man. I think it's been a long time coming, and I've said for years I wanted to get you on the show, so what perfect time than right now when we do all have exactly that, a little bit of time.
We got a lot of bit of time.
For those of you who don't know, Ruben is the, how would exactly you describe your position with Family Feud and Steve Harvey?
Well, I'm the announcer and the warm-up guy for Family Feud, but I'm also the warm-up guy for, I mean, no shows are taping right now, but on my roster, about 13 different shows. So yeah, I'm an announcer and the warm-up guy. And I've been with Steve Harvey now going on 10 years. He found me in Orlando, and here we are.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that journey a little bit, because I met you, of course, working in the theme parks. You were friends with a certain animatronic animal at the theme parks.
And, a friend of us animatronic that loved waffles.
Yeah, exactly. I also met you when you were doing a lot of DJing at various events. And yeah. So how did that all parlay into a full-blown career in L.A. Doing the things that you're doing?
So about 10 years ago, I was actually at a commercial shoot for the Harry Potter ride there at Universal Orlando, and one of the producers, I was backstage being me, you know, cracking jokes and being funny and animated and all that good stuff. And one of the producers said, "Hey man, you should really go to those auditions tomorrow for Family Feud." And I'm thinking to myself, my family ain't gonna be on Family Feud. But no, as he explained it to me, it was the warm-up guy for the Family Feud. Now, I did not know what a warm-up guy was, so I had to go Google it. And basically, it's the pre-host. It's the guy who gets right. Everybody hyped up, energetic, everybody to have a great time for the show. So I went to the audition.
You're almost like an MC mixed with almost a stand-up comedian is kind of the way I would imagine it.
Yeah, I mean, pre-host. You know what I mean? Exactly. That's actually a great analogy. You know what I mean? I tell jokes, and I keep them informed and keep them hype and, you know, keep them energetic the entire show. So that's a pretty good way to put it. Went to the audition. I did not get it. I was the runner-up. But the guy who got it couldn't do the first weekend. I went in that first weekend to cover for him. I blew the doors off that bad boy. Steve liked me, and I've been the guy ever since.
That's amazing. See, I mean, sometimes things just happen for a reason. Thank God that guy couldn't make it that one day. You know, things would be completely different. Have you ever heard from that guy since?
We're still friends.
Oh, cool.
We're still friends. He's my dude. You know what I mean? It's not. There's no animosity. It's just, you know, this is. I was born to do this. This is what I. Every part about what I do for a living now is not only a dream come true, it's what I was built for. You know what I mean? I've been entertaining people since I was a kid. And so my right now, the fact that I can 100% feed my family off my antics is a dream come true.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're doing pretty well for yourself. I mean,
I'm doing all right.
If that Tesla has anything to say about it. Man, that's amazing. I mean, Right now, though, how are you holding up? Are you still getting paid? I mean, how is that all working for you?
So I do better than most because, number one, I'd already saved up a crap ton of money to buy a house. So just kind of living off that right now.
Right.
And because I'm the announcer for Family Feud, I get residual checks. So, I mean, again, I can't complain about nothing. You know what I mean? There are a lot of people who are in way, 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 way worse positions than I am. So
sure.
As I keep the complaints down to a minimum because my inconvenience is nothing compared to their dire situation. So, yeah.
Well, see, yeah, I met you in Orlando. Where exactly did you grow up? Are you an Orlando native or?
So I'm an Air Force brat. My whole family's military. When my father eventually retired, we settled in Orlando. And yeah, I've been there. I call Orlando home because I was in middle school when I arrived there. And but that's home for me because that's where my family is. That's where my father is. That's where my sister is. Anytime something happens, that's home base. So I'm an Orlando kid.
Right. But you moved your immediate family out to LA. Is that correct?
Yeah. We had a pit stop in Chicago. We were in Chicago for 5 years. Basically what happened was this. When Steve Harvey got Family Feud, that first year was in Orlando, like we discussed, and then he moved the show closer to his home in Atlanta. So I was doing the, 6-hour drive every day back and forth every week from Orlando to Atlanta, because, see, I was still working at Universal Studios.
Sure.
And went well, actually, so, and still DJing all at the same time. So I was traveling back and forth. And then when Steve finally got his talk show in Chicago, he asked me to move. And I said, hell yeah. And so we moved the whole show to Chicago and I went with him. So we were there about 5 years. And then Steve moved all of his shows to L.A. That's where I am. Him moving to L.A. was probably the best thing to happen for me because, I love him. He's my dude. I would not be in this life without him. But, I have a young family and he's on the edge of, he could retire tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, moving to LA was great for me because it put me on a lot of shows' radars, and my career kind of exploded about 2 years ago. I mean, just like show after show after show was booking me. I'm now, I'm AGT, The Voice. I'm Kelly Clarkson's dude now. Like, I do a lot of stuff, and it's all because I'm here in the life now. So it kind of all worked out for me.
Are you enjoying LA as just as a whole, as a city?
I like California.
Okay.
LA is pretentious as hell, which is why I don't live in LA. I live in a little suburb outside of LA. I mean, I live literally suburb life, but a house and a yard and the kids and all that good stuff.
Right.
The things you hear about LA, some of them are true. I mean, again, it's very superficial. Everybody's out here trying to, it's dog eat dog. You know what I mean? And, everybody's trying to get, everybody comes, moves here to fulfill their dream. And I promised myself a long time ago that I would not move to LA without a gig. I did not want to be the starving artist. I did not want to be, searching and hoping and praying to get a gig. So the fact that I moved out here with several shows under my belt, it kind of, it's done me right so far.
That's awesome. I mean, I've heard it before from a lot of other people. You almost want to stay in a place like Orlando that has some opportunities and be that big fish in the little pond at first, before you graduate over and start spreading your wings, I suppose, in a larger market. So I can totally see that. How are you holding up during the quarantine? Like, what are you doing on your day-to-day,
So I've become a preschool teacher to my 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Trying to help my 8-year-old, actually 9-year-old now, pass, the third grade. And then, just little stuff around the house, man. I've become a freaking Black Martha Stewart. I have, vinyl cutters and 3D printers and Raspberry Pis. I'm making video games. And then every day at 6 o'clock my time, that's 9 o'clock for the folks on the East Coast, I do a show on my Facebook page called Quarantine Feud, where I ask Family Feud style questions. And then I give out gift cards. It's only $5, but it's a fun distraction from the day. Take 20, 30 minutes out of your day and not worry about what the president's saying or what the virus is doing. And, it's just it's a neat little fun little thing that I'm trying to do just to distract people and myself.
I mean, it must give you some sense of normalcy, too, and kind of keep you fresh, because I imagine, it's like anything. If you get out of practice, if you're not doing that type of thing, for a while, you got to keep up with it.
Oh, absolutely. The nature of my job is, like I said earlier about that audition, for this gig, but that was a rarity. There's usually no auditions for what I do. This is I know a guy, I know a girl, here's my real type of situation. And I do Quarantine Feud, honestly, yeah, you're right, to keep my chops up, man, and to keep my name in people's mouths. You
hell
know?
Yeah. Hell
there
yeah.
are people... There are people still watching it. There are people still realizing that I'm performing and I'm not resting on my laurels. And I'm the moment the old country opens back up and we're ready to go back to work, I'm gonna slap on this mask. I'm gonna look like Cobra Commander and I'm gonna jump right back on that stage.
That's absolutely right. Well, one of the things that you are known for in the scene, and just kind of I'm always seeing it on your Facebook, is your suits. You've always got the craziest suits. I imagine this is probably the first time in a long while that you've not had to put a suit on every day.
I still put a suit on every day.
Do
every
you?
Every time we do Quarantine Feud, I'll slap on the jacket and the pants. And I've been doing it every day just to kind of make sure I'm not A, to make sure it still fits. B, you know, just because it's my brand now. So anytime you see me, I got something wacky on. And so it's not the same. Don't get me wrong. I haven't had a carrot haircut in a month. And I'm not putting on ties or anything, but I definitely put the suit on.
How many suits do you think you have at this point?
I'm in the 200 and something. Yeah, it's a lot, man. It's kind of an obsession. I mean, you should see how many ties I have. I couldn't even count the ties and the pocket squares. I have no idea. There is a whole section of my room right here. I'm staring at it like, man, maybe I should get some of this.
What do you think? What do you think it's going to be like returning back to work after this? How you feel it's going to go? I mean, do you think you're going to get like studio audiences and stuff? Because I guess without a studio audience, there is no job for you, right?
Well, the good news for me is, yes, you're right. There's no studio audience, which is why this is very daunting for me. I've had many of a economical panic attack about this, but I know that I'm still with Family Feud. I'm the rehearsal host for Family Feud.
Mm.
So basically, in order to actually do the show with Steve, you have to do the show with me, because the whole thinking is, if you can't handle my jokes, he'll eat you alive. So I still have that gig. You know what? Side story, one of the coolest things that there are a lot of stories in the media about Steve Harvey and this and the third and how he treats his staff. So I just want to tell this real, real quick story. So right before everybody starts shutting down shows all over the country, shut down everything all over the country, we were just beginning our Family Feud season, and they had decided, okay, guys, it was a Friday. They said, okay, guys, next week we're not going to have audiences. We're just going to have the families, and we're going to have their significant others, and that's it. There's not going to be an audience. And so, you know, I was bummed. So we were about to leave. We were the last show of the day. And I said, all right, boss, I guess I'll see you when I see you. He goes, where are you going? I said, I'm talking to Steve. He goes, where are you going? I said, well, there's no audience next week. I'm not here next week. And he goes, what do you mean you're not going to be here next week? I said, boss, if there's no audience, there's no warm-up guy. He goes, hold on. Come here. He pulled me out on stage. Now, this is in front of the audience that we have there, right? There's a full audience at this point. Mm-hmm. And the families are on stage. The executive producer is there. And the director, the EPs, he said, turn all the cameras on. They turn the cameras on. And he goes, listen to me. If Ruben's not here next week, I'm not coming in. And that was...
Oh, wow.
And yeah, man, it was one of the coolest things ever. To the point where, I mean, I started getting phone calls after that. We were like, of course you're coming in. Don't worry about it. Your family, like Family Feud, takes care of me. You know, they have for 10 years. But it was just such a – he didn't have to do that.
No, of course you know not.
I mean? He did not have to do that whatsoever. So I'm forever thankful.
Yeah, there's been a few things like that for you over the time, haven't there, with Steve. It seems like Steve just – he's a really great guy, and he's obviously got an affinity towards you.
Yeah, man, we're cool. We're dudes, man. Like, people can say whatever they want, but I can tell you what, man, that man has done for me and my career and my family things he does not do. I mean, it is rare that a TV show host of his caliber travels with a warm-up guy. I've been all over the world warming up audiences just because he says, I'm not going to go out of stage until Ruben gets here. You know what I mean? And it is he has a thing about loyalty, and I'm loyal to him, and he's loyal to me. And, you know, it's a, it's a, It's awesome. It really is.
That's super cool because you're right. I mean, a lot of these guys, they'll just probably pick up someone, a stand-up comedian or someone just in whatever town they're in, right? And they don't necessarily travel with someone like you. So I imagine that works, you know, better for him as well because he's got that sense of kind of comfort and what have you and normalcy around you. So therefore, it's going to make him more relaxed in his job.
Yeah, and I know where he's going to go. I know what he needs. I know the kind of music he likes. I've studied all things Steve Harvey. And so, but he does. It's not just me. He does that too. You know, he travels with a stage manager because he wants to take directions a certain kind of way. He travels with an audio person because the audio person that he travels with knows, hey, my suits fit like this. My tailor cut it like that. I want the pocket to be over here. I want the mic to run like that. And that's not a constant conversation with new people.
Yeah.
And so he likes what he likes. And I'm okay with it as long as I keep getting a check.
No, there's something to be said for that, though. I completely get it. I completely get it. Do you have any plans to return to Orlando? Or I guess that's kind of up in the air right now, right?
Well, let me tell you something, man. We thought about it, and we've all said, hey, listen, if this goes too much longer, or the industry doesn't come back, the plan has always been Florida. You know what I mean? I'll go back to Florida in a heartbeat.
Right.
You know what I mean, I love LA and all, but Florida's home, Orlando's home. So, you know, I'm hopeful that I will not have to make that decision, but I'm prepared to make that decision.
Sure, sure. I totally get it. Totally get it. One of the things before we go, I wanted to I told you this story the other day, and I thought I just wanted to get your opinions on it because I think it's hilarious. We've got a mutual couple of friends, Jim Bowers and a guy named Justin Moeller. Both are very familiar with you. They live together on quite a bit of land on a farm where they're growing all sorts of stuff and they fish and they hunt and it's, you know, it's real redneck life type deal. But they ended up getting a donkey and in your honor, they named it Reuben.
And that is the best, dude. Yeah. Look, I am a little bit of an ass, and so I appreciate every bit of it. So that's love right there.
I know.
That's love right there.
It's amazing. I'll definitely have to let them know. I'm not sure if they know that I was telling you, but I'll let them know in the near future, and I'll probably send them this audio because I'm sure they'd get a kick out of that.
Oh, man, that's love right there. I appreciate it. They're good dudes, and I miss them. You know what I mean? I miss the whole Orlando family. I miss Universal. I miss you. I miss everybody, man. Because, you know, we had a good thing going there for a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we did.
So
absolutely.
It's like I miss all that. So
yeah, man.
I can't wait to see everybody again. Hey, when I get back to Orlando, I owe you a drink or something, brother.
Oh, no. Thank you, man. I owe you one. And anytime, you know, you want to just pop in or, you know, join the Oh No Radio show for a chat, you're more than welcome to. And thank you so much for your time, bud.
Thank you, man. I'm going to take you up on that, brother. I'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Have a great day now.
Bye.